Hey everybody, this is Kyler Bingham with Salt Lake Dirt and KPCR 92.9 FM in Los Gatos. We are here in person at the Slam Dance Film Festival 2024. Seen some very incredible films, including a narrative feature that really caught my attention, African Giants. I had the chance to see it last night, and we are here with the writer, director, and a producer. If you guys could just go ahead and introduce yourselves and tell us your role in the film.
Absolutely. So my name is Omar S. Kamar, and I'm the writer, director, and producer of African Giants.
And my name is Leo Blumberg-Wall, and I am the producer of African Giants.
So one thing that, first of all, I love the film. I thought it was great. And one thing I was mentioning to Leo before we were recording, but it felt like a play to me. And I love films like that. So talk to me about the writing process initially for the film. I mean, the dialogue was just so on point, so realistic, that relationship between two brothers. Tell us a bit about the film and then kind of how the idea came to you and then the writing process itself.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'll start with just saying that I love that you said it's like a play, because I think some of my favorite filmmakers are filmmakers who have a playwright background and usually came from playwriting. Like Asghar Farhadi is a huge person from inspiration for me, and he has a playwriting background. So I love films like that. Before Sunset, that trilogy you could argue is a play. It's just a walking play and walking and talking. So I really love stuff like that. And I love dialogue. Maybe because I talk a lot. I just love conversation and dialogue. And so for me, it was like the perfect way to not only make sure it was in a budget we could maintain, but get all these ideas and themes out, because it's through conversations. So it originally came to me, the original idea, because my mom, when I was very young, she told me, be careful how you behave. Your little brother's watching you. You're his hero. And I remember, like, she told me that I was like 9 at the time.
A lot of pressure. And
I remember feeling exactly like that's a lot of pressure. And I always went through life. My little brother's actually here for the premiere, which is really exciting.
Nice.
But I went through life trying to be an example for him. You know, this guy's looking up to me. And there was one moment where I was not in the best situation. And my little brother, it's actually what relived in the film. My little brother came to my defense. And at this moment where I was fully out of my element and not okay, my little brother, who I was supposed to be an example for and a hero for, was a hero and example for me. And so we wanted to take this framework of the younger brother becoming the hero when the older brother was originally supposed to be the hero. And that kind of was the idea behind African Giants. And then talking about all our experiences with our parents being from Sierra Leone and us here, and doing it in something like a play, like you said.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And then Leo, how did you get involved in the project?
So it feels like we've told this story about 200 times, but it does not get old. I was coming into the space and had really never worked very closely on a project before when I met Omar in 2021. Really just felt the best way to do that was just to send out a bunch of emails on IMDb Pro and Coverfly and just to find people that I thought were cool creatives and cool artists. Came across Omar's Project Mass Ave, his feature script that was on Coverfly, and it kept placing on like the top 1% of all of these different lists. And I decided to DM him. I reached out to him, and Omar can testify to the fact that he thought that it was spam, and he did not think that I was a real person. But after a couple of mutual friends verified me, it ended up being real. And we had a conversation. It was supposed to be 30 minutes and ended up being like 3 hours. And we talked about kind of what he wanted to do and how he kind of saw the space and how he wanted to go out and make something for himself and show this as like a really cool proof of concept for what he can do on a larger scale. And I think he did exactly that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always, and we were talking about just like the beauty of Slam Dance, how you see something that you're not going to see elsewhere, or it's just like, it's going to be unique. You come to Slam Dance and everything you see is unique. Mm-hmm. And one thing I really love about it is I feel there is like a healthy respect for all the filmmakers, because in a certain way, you're not really in competition because everyone's project is so different.
Right.
And, and this one was just, like I said, it's fresh on my mind because I watched it last night. The relationship between the brothers, I just thought was such a beautiful thing. And there's a line early in the film where one of the brothers says he comes home from school when he was a kid, and he says, oh, so-and-so is my best friend. And his dad got like very stoic and like, no, your brother is your best friend.
Right, yeah.
And I thought that was such a powerful moment. Is that something you kind of experienced as well in your own life?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was funny because I think earlier you had asked a question about dialogue, and nearly 95% of the dialogue in the film is like autobiographical and real. This is another story I've been telling people a lot, but I'm very lucky that my friends and fiance and family members allow me to sometimes stop conversations we're having and write things in my notes. And I'll literally be like, you just said this profound thing, and I'll write it in my notes. And I also have a little bit like, it's not like a photographic memory. I almost feel like I have like a video memory. Like I can replay a conversation I had and write down the things. So a lot of that dialogue is real conversations that we had. That is literally something my dad said. In fact, I actually, I think I put my friend's name in there, and I was, that's my actual friend's name from childhood. And I was going to take it out, and I completely forgot and left it. That's actually his name, Bilal Ali from Virginia. What's up, Bilal? And literally my dad said that, and he was like, your brother's your best friend. That's the person you should be focused on. And it was particularly with those undisclosed location scenes. All of that is real quotes from my dad about my grandma. The other quote to open it's from my mom. And that's one of the things I'm very proud of. It makes me very emotional when I watch the film, because it's like my family talking to me, things I've really heard them say, and they had an impact on me. And so I'm really honored now that it's having impact on audiences as well.
And just also to say one more thing is that, you know, you're talking about how a lot of these films are different. And the thing that I think is so cool about what Omar did was he did extrapolate a lot of these things from what really happened in his life and verbatim kind of the language and the words. But also he was bold enough to basically just like make a project like this and just give his actors this free realm to just kind of go and say, do this. And to see that kind of painted on screen, to have like the confidence to let his actors go and do this. And it's really just two people in a house for most of it, right? That takes like a lot of guts. And he was able to do it in a very efficient manner. And it was a very cool thing to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it makes so much sense now, like, because the dialogue does just feel so organic and so real. As a, you know, as a viewer, and I have an older brother, and it made me like think a lot about our relationship. It was really powerful for me. So I want to talk about a couple different things, but let's talk about the house you shot at, the location. It sounds like there was an interesting stipulation to secure that. You know, you're an indie film, you're limited resources, limited budget.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
So this story will actually never get old. we had scouted a couple locations, and you know, we were working with a very limited budget, and we found this place in Woodland Hills that was like a relatively large house for kind of what we wanted. And, you know, it had this this big pool in the backyard. It had this meditation dome that the owner usually used for like yoga and meditation sessions that she ran, with straps hanging from the wall. And we really loved it. And we really only had a little bit of money for it. And so I decided that after we went to go scout it, Omar liked it, our DP liked it, our production designer liked it. I decided to take some pictures and include it in a deck and send it to the owner and give her our pitch, say, basically, you know, we're working with this much money. So I don't hear from her for a day. It's 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night. I get a call from an unknown number on my phone. And she calls me and she says, Leo, this is the least amount of money I've ever been offered for anything in my life. I've rented out on Pure Space for 3 years. I've never seen this number before. I was like, Myra, I totally understand. Shout out, Myra. She was basically like, I think that I can do this, but what I really want is I want you to be able to run a holistic set because films are so masochistic sometimes when it comes to on-set life. And I said, that's great, but what does that mean? And she basically said, as long as you kind of offer an optional meditation session at lunch, in addition to me being allowed to make green shakes for the team.
They were very good, actually.
They were fantastic.
Sounds wonderful.
I'll let this work. And I was like, so you're telling me that we need to take care of ourselves and you'll let us have this for this limited budget that we're giving you? And she said, yep. And it was a done deal. And we ended up having it for about a month.
Yeah.
Shout out Myra.
Left our stuff there on weekends. Like, she really, really helped.
She actually brought a food nutritionist on set through her nonprofit organization who camped out in the backyard to make us smoothies for 2 weeks during the project.
I want to be on that set. That's
it was
great.
Fantastic. She unfortunately has since then sold the house and moved to Costa Rica.
But I will say, on the last day when I was suspended in the air, like before we left, I think it made for a better film. Yeah. I was so relaxed coming back from that
lunch. I'll tell you what.
Well, I felt good.
There was a moment on like the second to last day where there was some budgetary issues that I was thinking through, and I really needed to take 10 minutes to just take a beat. And that was the first day that I really went into the dome. And
the
I put
dome.
My legs up on
Out
the strap.
Out of context.
I
said, so strange.
And I put my feet up on these straps. 9 minutes into this 10-minute session, my eyes awoke like I've never seen before. Yeah. And I had the clearest vision as to how to like get our budget back. And I
and
was like, this
it.
Is it. And we did it that day. And it was it.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you about the two guys that play the brothers.
Yeah.
Incredible job. you know, could have fooled me that they were brothers. I just, they just really nailed the performances and like we, you know, heavy dialogue. So a lot of dialogue, a lot is weighing on those two roles. Absolutely. So you got to get the right people. And you did. Talk to me about how you got those guys.
Absolutely. I mean, and they're probably the, there's a lot of things I'm thankful for in this film, but those two, the performances and the relationship we have is something I'm really thankful for. We have a group chat called African Giants where it's us three. It was all because of my casting director named Suzanne Yavu, who I worked, I met at AFI, and I was really nervous because I was doing a short about me and my dad, and it was really important to me to have African actors, like not people from different cultures playing Africans, but actual Africans. Mm-hmm. I felt there was like a nuance and specificity that would be there, and in that short, I actually met Omete Nasi, who plays the younger brother, and he is phenomenal. The short's on HBO. It's called Mass Ave now. And we kind of got a bond. And on that set, he actually applied to Juilliard. He was applying to Juilliard. He ends up getting into Juilliard. And I beg him, just come back in between summers. We're going to shoot this film called African Giants. He didn't think it was going to happen, but he was like, fine, I'll do it. We shot the, when it came time to do the film, we're casting for the older brother. And I see Dylan Daniel Mutyaba, who plays Elijah's tape. And I always tell people, I call him the Ugandan Marlon Brando. Like, I think he has this unspoken energy. Like, yeah, he doesn't have to speak, just the way he walks, yeah, and sits or whatever. And I cast him, and my casting director goes, you know, he actually just applied to Juilliard too. And he got into Juilliard, and funnily enough, got assigned as Omete's little brother mentor at Juilliard.
Oh my God.
So they had met each other briefly, hadn't really got super close, but they had a relationship in real life. He's his little brother mentor at Juilliard, and they're both there now, and I'm very excited for their careers. But for me, it was just them being authentic to themselves and their African experiences. And we did rehearsals that I completely ripped from Asghar Farhadi, mm-hmm, which is you rehearse, but you don't actually do anything with the script. You just do activities. Like I think I saw with one of his films, he had the family play board games just so they could get a feel for each other. And so what we did is we rented out a room and we kind of played scenarios that are spoken about in the film, but like happened in the past. Like, for example, Elijah talks about how he broke up with Corey, and the little brother says, I was so worried about you. You died. And we literally put them together in the room, and I said, let's go back to that day and just act out this scene, improv, what you would do when your brother just broke up with his girlfriend and you got this sad news. And we did a bunch of activities like that. Nothing to do with the script, but just playing moments of the script that kind of built a Rolodex of real experiences, I think, in their head, which I like to think translated onto screen of feeling like they actually really know each, yeah, other deeply.
No, well, that's incredible. That's like, that's wild. Like, all, yeah, this seems meant to be. It's really, really, really cool. Tell me about getting into Slam Dance. I'm always curious when people get that call or that email, like, what were you doing? I talk to a lot of people and they think they're being pranked by some horrible person, apparently. But I, like, tell me about your experience when you found out you got in.
Why are you laughing?
So you have to go first because you got the official call, but I have a story. Okay,
So I get the call and I'm literally, I go home for Thanksgiving. I was back in Virginia and I get the call and I miss it because my phone's on Do Not Disturb, which annoys a lot of people. But so my first call always goes to voicemail, and he left me a voicemail, and I listened to the message, and it says, hey, it's Michael. It's from Slam Dance. It's like a 45-second voicemail. I literally hear Slam Dance, hang up, call him back immediately. And the whole time I'm like, I hope he's not calling me to say, oh, well, you know, maybe there's a problem with your thing, whatever, whatever. And he goes, we saw your film. It was so original. We feel like it's kind of like an old school indie that's done for like a modern audience. And I just start crying. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It was kind of like those movie moments. I'm fist pumping in the air. I'm like, yes, yes. And so I couldn't believe it because like it's Slam Dance. Bong Joon-ho debuted here. Christopher Nolan debuted here. Like, you know, it's the dream kind of. And so I literally hang up and literally just FaceTime everyone. I have a Rolodex of all my team's face. And your facial expression is actually the funniest one. You just grabbed your head and couldn't believe it. And I think I tricked you before I told you. What did I say?
You did. You did. So to give a little bit of backstory, I was on another project at the time, and we were in week two of shooting, and it was chaos, and our UPM went down with like a disease. She got a poisonous spider bite, and I was getting all these texts like literally like at this exact moment. I was going outside. I had nobody else in the production office this day. It was absolute chaos. I'm dealing with this. I get the text about the disease. I get the text about the poisonous spider bite. She's like, I can't be back on set. It's contagious. I get a FaceTime call from Omar literally like a minute later, and he calls me, and I'm like, he's like, hey man, how's the project going? I'm like, oh man, you know, it's a little bit chaotic right now. Like, how you doing? And he never really FaceTimes out of the blue. Like, he usually FaceTimes with some kind of intentionality, but I was just so out of it. Like, I really wasn't processing that. And he kind of paused for a moment and he was like, man, I hope you're able to get through it. And I hope it's like some good luck. And cause, you know, We just got into Slam Dance, and I just lost my mind. I was like, I just really don't have time to process anything right now, but this is fantastic news. And all that to say is also, you know, this entire thing has been a very long process, and I think that Slam Dance has always been very high on our list in terms of places that we wanted to go to. As he said, like, there's a lot of great filmmakers that had their first premiere here, and I think for a film like this, it really does a lot of justice to be at a place like this. And as you're talking about with like the casting and the movie and really everything that kind of coincides with it, feels like a very fitting place to happen. And so we're just very happy and very grateful that we're here and being able to premiere here. Yeah,
wonderful. And you had the first screening already. How did that go?
Oh, it was amazing. We were happy because we were like one of the first narrative features playing, and we get there and we're like, you know, we kind of didn't know what it was going to be like, you know, we just had got in the night before and now we're premiering in the morning, and it was incredible. It was, people kept asking me, how do you feel? And I was like, I feel numb, you know, it's cool. You know, kind of knew it was coming, whatever. And then literally 45 minutes into the film, as you can tell, I sob a lot. I started sobbing uncontrollably. My fiance was there rubbing my back, and I thought it was incognito. And I walk out, and then my brother was like, I saw you, man. I saw you take your glasses off. I saw you crying. You were out of control. And the good news is there's other people crying too. So I felt like I wasn't alone. Some of the audience members were telling this.
I can tell you for a fact that I did also see that. There was one seat by itself in the back corner, and I decided to sit there so I could see everybody else's reaction like a psycho. I did see that. So that was a beautiful moment.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, what was really nice about having the audience experience is even when my short came out, it was during the pandemic. So I did a lot of virtual festivals, and we had one screening, but it was still at the time when everyone's wearing masks. Kind of not fully comfortable. It was such a privilege to have a room full of people sitting, laughing at jokes, laughing at the dialogue. You can hear sniffling when people are crying. I can look over and see someone wiping their eyes, to really know that the work that you put in, all the struggle, all the sacrifice, actually to make something, is you just want it to have an effect on people.
Yeah.
You just want it to move them in some way, right? You know, you can have thoughts, you can have notes, but can you say that the film moved me in some way? And sort of be able to feel that from the audience and talk to filmmakers after who were telling us that, it meant the world.
Yeah, it's powerful. I mean, I do a thing. If I'm around and I see something's being let out, I kind of just stand. And if I see someone wiping away tears, like almost, I'm like, hey, what'd you just see?
Yeah.
And I want to know. And so it sounds like, that's so incredible. I mean, I think, you know, I watched it by myself. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like this film will work really well with an audience. And then also it's so personal and so like just essentially the two people for the most part.
Yeah.
It's very personal. And so I had like a very great experience with me and my dog watching it last night.
What Omar does, I think, beautifully in all of his projects, and I've read more than just kind of the two that he's done thus far, is he tells these really good stories at this intersection of like Sierra Leonean culture, American identity, and family. But he does it in a way that I'm looking at my brother when I'm watching that and I'm relating to it. But then you also have a very small sect of people that are personally related to that culture that identified in a different way.
Right.
But it also has mass appeal. And it's engaging. And you know what? It's really hard to create like a drama like that and to actually create engagement in it and to make people captivated by it. And you are really captivated by the performance. Yeah. And again, that's a bold thing to do for his first feature. And I really, really respect it.
Yeah, I think when something is, and I've heard someone say this before to me, like when something is very specific to a person's world, it often has a broader like appeal to people because the human condition is like, it's there for all of us. We have our own little thing going on, but when you are specific to your experience, it can just hit with so many different people.
Always tell us in film school, the more specific, the more universal.
Yeah.
And I think I knew that, but I definitely think after making my short in this feature, that now I believe it to my core.
Like
people from different cultures come up to me and go, that's my brother. My dad said that to me. And from all different parts of the world, it's like, it's actually amazing because there is, like, normally you see all the differences in all these people. It's amazing that people from all these different cultures can actually relate to these things to be like, okay, we have differences, but we have a lot in common too. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, wonderful. Let's tell people where they can, we have another screening coming up. This is going to air, this is Monday night, everybody, that we're airing this. And you have a screening Tuesday.
Yes.
Tell us where people can see the film.
Absolutely. We have our next screening Tuesday at the Yarrow in the Summer and David Theater at 2:30 p.m. Please come. Tickets are on sale at the Slam Dance website. It's going to be a great vibe. And we are, after that, going to hopefully be coming to some other things near you. So hopefully you can see it later.
Other things near you, yeah.
Great. Any social media accounts people can follow to keep up with where future screenings will be?
Absolutely. So the African Giants film on Instagram. So at African Giants film. Then also the director posts a lot about it too at OS Kamara.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So you can see that too. Yeah, you can. I would say more so follow the actual director for his other stuff. You know, get the people going.
Wonderful. So we'll have links to all that so people can easily find it. You guys, Omar, Leo, thank you so much for joining me today. I love the film and I'm super excited for you guys. And hopefully people will, from this episode here, will be able to see it eventually. I really recommend it. So thanks again.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate you.